Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children. And by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education today.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Rose Gamblin, and with me is Michael Gamblin.
Today we're going to talk about an interesting topic called how to beat teacher fatigue. It's just like, you know, your soldier fatigue or your parent fatigue or student defeat.
Almost
fatigue.
Like a PST.
Well, it could be if you've had a traumatic experience during the year teaching your children. Maybe it's the first year you've taught, and yeah, it could be very much like post-traumatic stress.
Or PTS, I'm sorry, PTS. Post-traumatic syndrome.
You know, I worked with some student teachers this semester, and the first three evaluations went pretty good. Well, the third evaluation, I saw the signs of maybe post-traumatic stress syndrome. You know, just fatigue. And the kids picked up on it. I mean, you could sense it the moment you walked in the room. And so I told this one teacher specifically, I said, you need to help those kids feel like you just like them. And, you know, it's a hard thing to fake, so you really do need to like them.
Do you start the year out with your fatigue syndrome, or does that grow as the year goes along?
Well, I think that new teachers maybe are more prone, but I could be wrong, because there's some teachers that have taught for such a long time, I think, in a constant state of chronic fatigue. And it doesn't help anybody. It certainly doesn't help you as a person if you have chronic fatigue syndrome. You're just tired all the time, you're dragging all the time, you don't have the energy that you need to keep up with all the young people. You certainly don't have the energy to be creative and to think of innovative things to do and to put the energy even in your voice to do it.
So you're saying to me that a teacher has to be in an upbeat state at all times to be effective?
Yeah, I mean, I can only speak from my own experience, and I've weathered some tough trials where I, you know, finalized my divorce in the morning and went back into the classroom in the afternoon and finished out the day. Or when I taught in the morning and found out, you know, a loved one had passed away and I had to finish the day until I could get my substitute lesson plans together and find a substitute teacher. You know, those kinds of things. And then there's just the normal things. Maybe you had an altercation with your spouse at home, or maybe a parent has complained to you to the principal or to the school board. And so you have those things niggling at you. And at the same time, you have to learn how to put them on a shelf and go into that classroom in the most positive attitude possible. That being said, I am authentic. I have cried in front of my students when something sad has happened. I have told them, you know, I don't feel very good today. Can you help me get through this day? And they will go the extra mile for you if you are genuinely honest with how you feel. We don't feel 100% up every single day of our lives. You know, that's just how life is.
That's just sort of impossible to be up all the time, isn't it?
Yes. But one thing I've noticed towards the end of the school year is that our students can hardly take another day of school, and we can hardly teach another day. And so I started just only recently, probably in the last 10 years of my experience, how can I beat that? There's a couple of things impacting it. First of all, there's something I call separation syndrome, where the students who are leaving and know they aren't coming back begin to withdraw. They don't want to really develop that closeness. In fact, they want to create distance, because it's going to be much easier to leave our friends and our teachers if we aren't as close as we were before.
I've also seen that not just with the ones that are leaving out of the 8th grade, 12th grade, or whatever, but even the kids just going away for the summer. There seems to be a little bit of that happening too.
Yes, and there's ways that teachers can combat that. You know, if you really are interested in seeing them again during the summer, you can arrange some times. You can just let them know in a friendly note or something, saying, I'm going to be at the pool, or I'm going to this event, and, you know, hope I'll see you there, maybe at church, you know, whatever occasion you would have to be in a public place. You know, maybe you're going to a parade or something like that, so that you can continue that. I always try to send notes home throughout the summer, and I also often send a summer package, and I'll put, you know, I'll, of course, mimeograph it off, because, you know, right, making a lot of these packets, if each note was individualized, it'd be exhausting, but I'll put little funny notes in it. Remember when your you know, when your juice fell out and hit me in the face or whatever, you know, something that reminds them of some of the shared experiences that we've had. And all of these things take energy.
What are some of the things that you can do for your own physical needs to, you know, combat this tiredness, this fatigue.
It's fatigue. And but the syndrome part of it is something that means that it just continues on and on and on. There's a couple of different levels. One, I work on myself, and I have about 13. Like, I try to take a walk. I will even go outside with the students at recess, even though as an administrator, I could use every spare moment.
Oh, for sure.
Doing administrative work, but going outside boosts my own energy. I can go to a happy place in my mind. You know, I can think about what's coming up in the weekend, or I can think about what I'm going to do this summer. When I think beyond what's happening right then, it takes away some of that fatigue, because it brings joy back into my life. I also think it's important to have conversation, you know, talk to a loved one. I know that my husband gets tired of me talking about school all the time, but
sometimes
he's the main person that I can talk to about school. And that is a joy to me, to talk about school. There's things that are that make me happy at school that I want to share with him that are funny. And then there's things that are stressful at school that I want to share and maybe get a second opinion, you know, or did I really interpret it the way it came across? So have a conversation with someone else outside of school.
I know they say a lot of things that you can do is get plenty of rest and exercise, but how critical is good rest an exercise to battling the chronic fatigue syndrome?
Well, for the actual where you're physically tired all the time, it's absolutely a must. And if you can avoid drinking caffeine, or just drink a little tiny bit, maybe in the morning, just a very small amount, just one cup, no more than that, then your body will let you know, hey, I need rest. I need to take a nap today after school. Take that nap. Or, I need to go to bed early. Go to bed early. Just anything that you can, this especially towards the end of the school year where everything is coming at you 1,000 miles an hour, you need to get that rest and relaxation. Number four.
Okay.
So I've done number one, take a walk. Number two, think about, you know, go to your happy place in your mind. Number three, have a conversation with someone outside of school. Number four, I'm not opposed to things like lighting a candle or doing like an essential oil invigorating smell. That does something, you know, like fresh mint or lavender. It does something to the brain to just perk it up. So you could do something like that. And then do away with maybe watching. This is number five. Watching something just relaxing on TV, like something funny, like Lucille Ball or something.
This is after you get home,
yeah,
not during school.
Right. This is after you get home. You're thinking of ways that right now we're thinking of ways that we can refill our battery. So when we go to school the next day, we have energy and we're talking with enthusiasm and we can just hardly wait to get back. And even though it's towards the end of the school year and we're battling the teacher fatigue, we're going to fight it. We're not going to give in to it. And that these are some of the ways that we're going to fight it and not give in to it. Another thing that I do is I write lists. And the reason I write a list is because once I get it on that piece of paper, I don't have to keep practicing that I have to get that done.
Keep trying to remember it.
Yes. And if I started this when I would wake up in the middle of the night, okay, now what do I need to get done today? And then I kept a piece of paper and a pencil by my bed, and I would write it down, and then I could go back to sleep. If I didn't write it down, I would keep practicing what I need to get done the next day. Isn't that the stupidest thing you've ever heard of? But that's how my mind
works. No, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
I've woken up at 2 o'clock in the morning, sit right up in bed and said, oh, I forgot to do something. And the list, even in the business world, not just teaching, but just is a must.
But another thing that really helps, and this almost seems like it's impossible to do, but leave school. Just leave school early, leave it behind, get in the car, just leave everything how it is at school, just leave it and go do something else.
That's almost impossible, it seems like, to do.
Yeah.
Because there's always something else that needs to be done. Yes. Is teaching one of those jobs where no matter how hard you try, there's always something that has to get done?
Absolutely. The work will be there when you come back. And it doesn't seem like you ever get to the point where you have all the work done. There's always something more you can do. Now, we're talking right now about things that you can do for yourself, but I have things that I have started doing for my school and for my kids, and I want to talk about those when we come back. We'll be right back. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion, and I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry, and I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support, so take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of books from different guests that I've had on the show and different topics that I've done. And I also have some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome back. I'm trying not to sound so excited about this topic, but beating teacher fatigue is a huge thing, and it has principles that apply to everything in life. I remember as a young parent becoming so fatigued watching my little ones, and they were so precious to me, but I wasn't getting enough sleep. I wasn't even getting probably the good nutrition I should have been. I was just so fatigued, and I felt so guilty about being fatigued. So I suppose that might be one of my things is don't feel guilty when you feel fatigued. That just adds to it.
Yeah, stress can even make you more tired too. So
you know,
it's a cliche, but try to keep the stress out of your life, which is almost impossible, but try to keep it out.
Don't add stress by feeling guilty for feeling stressed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If that makes any point. I don't know if it does, but the whole idea is make sure you're nourishing yourself with good nutrition, lots of fluids, getting enough rest, walking away when the task might seem, you know, like you just need to stick to it no matter what, walk away. But now I want to talk about some of the things that I've discovered in this journey of teaching that really has helped with teacher fatigue. First of all, recognize the symptoms. Recognize the symptoms in yourself and in others, and feel free to share. You might help that colleague of yours if you just said something like, you know, I can really see that teacher fatigue is setting in, and I wondered what I could do to help you. Because if they recognize it, they can take steps to counteract it. You are not a good teacher when you are in a fatigued state, period. I have never met a teacher who was doing a really good job in a fatigued state. They're just too tired. They're just too tired. They're too tired to notice that little child that has the dark circles under their eyes and maybe doesn't feel too well. They're just too tired to notice that child that went the extra mile to bring them in a bouquet of dandelions. You know, they just said, oh, thank you, and set it on their desk instead of really appreciating what a blessing that child was trying to give them in that bouquet of flowers. So recognize it in yourself and recognize it in others and help each other along the way. The first thing that I did, probably about 10 years ago, the teachers always have teacher appreciation like the first week or so of May. And that's great. You know, teachers love to be appreciated. It does. You know, just that appreciation helps a little bit to feel less fatigued that week. Well, when we came to like the last week of school, and I thought, you know, I'm going to do a student appreciation. And I told my teachers, I had about 5 teachers at the time at that school. I said, we're going to do student appreciation this week. So let's brainstorm some things that are a little out of the ordinary that we can do for them different each day. And then each teacher will be responsible for that. And they'll go into all the rooms with whatever we decide. We came up with one day we'd let the kids chew gum. Another day, we let the kids dress down. I mean, these don't have to cost a thing. Another day, we gave them extra recess. Another day, we gave them bubbles to blow. And
I like what you just did this year for your students. She put up a bulletin board, and she said, I want to put balloons all over it. And I said, well, why don't you put little activities in there, too? So she has got this bulletin board full of balloons, and each day, they get to pop one of the balloons. And they come up with a little unique thing, maybe an extra recess here, or like you said, the dress down, or I don't remember all the ones you've done, yes, but a bunch of different stuff, which really, I think, helped to combat the fatigue and the boredom and the anxiousness of the last days of school.
Yes, the dog days of school, I've often heard it called, but you can make it really a fantastic experience for your students. That turned my thought processes around when I saw how the students reacted to Student Appreciation Week. And so this year, now it's interesting because I've been in 2 schools now that absolutely the kids said, we do not want a countdown. We don't want a countdown. There were city schools. We don't want a countdown because then we can't be at school playing outside. We have to spend the summer indoors. But this year, I thought it might be good to do a countdown. I have such a, mainly boys in the school, and they're very rambunctious. And so these messages, the title of the board is Let's End the Year with a Bang. And we've had some, you know, I've learned from it, for sure. For example, I had a substitute teacher who came, and I hadn't thoroughly explained to the substitute teacher. So that was I got so many calls. I think they called the superintendent, they called the pastor, they called everybody because the students had popped a balloon that said conflict recess challenge, which we do occasionally. So they knew it to mean we can have recess until we have a conflict, which usually they have one within the first 5 minutes. Well, they all got together with this substitute teacher not knowing, and they decided that even if they had a conflict, they were not going to tell him. So he started making his calls when they had been out at recess for an hour. Now, mind you, since I'm the principal, I have a lot more flexibility to do some of these fun things. But I'm thinking even of my daughter who teaches you know, 30 kids, she does some similar things. She has, like, they have tent day where they bring blankets and put over their chairs.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
And they have a little pretend fireplace, and they come around the fireplace to do their lessons and stuff. So our fun times usually begin with our school week. It's called School Spirit Week. And then we have our end of the year bulletin board, where they never know if they're going to have to hop on one leg from class to class, or if they get an extra 15 minutes, or if they have to clean out their lockers or do something nice for me.
But how does this help combat the fatigue syndrome? Just because it just lifts your spirits?
It does. When I see all my students hopping on one foot, tripping all over themselves, trying to go from one class to the next, I laugh.
We all know what laughter does for you. It really helps.
It is a source of entertainment for me. And we have this old saying that if what you don't get taught by March, you won't get taught. But I don't do that either. I try my best to continue teaching and having meaningful lessons clear up until the last week of school. And this just adds the interest. So they're having to still do all their schoolwork, but now, you know, interesting things are happening when they are all hopping from one class to the next.
I bet that is hilarious.
And it does. It just brings some joy into the classroom. Now, we have our eighth grade class trip, and I try to divide myself between it so that I go partially on the eighth grade class trip with their sponsors, and then I stay partially at school and do something for the eighth graders with the other kids for their graduation. That will be a surprise. And then we also are going to have outdoor school where we go and stay overnight at a nice camp.
That doesn't sound like that's going to relieve your tiredness.
It doesn't really relieve my tiredness so much, but it gives us something to look forward to. We get to go canoeing and play with snakes and all kinds of critters like that. And working with animals has a, you know, they say petting an animal lowers your blood pressure. So, mm-hmm.
Well, before we run out of time here, I'd like to change your thought a minute. How can I, as a spouse or any spouse of a teacher, be it husband or wife, how can we help our spouse to combat the chronic fatigue and to help them in their teaching?
Well, you do so much for me by, first of all, listening and then picking up all the pieces at home that don't get done. So it's so wonderful when I come home and the house is clean and decluttered. That is just, I mean, I just feel lovely from that. And then, you know, when you take me out in your boat, I can just feel the stress dripping off my fingers into the water. It's really cool. And of course, recently I came home and I was surprised he had dug up my garden, or facilitated it to be dug up, and he had all my plants for my garden. So I essentially, he gave me a garden. I'm looking so forward to that. I think digging in the earth, touching the earth, has a way of rebalancing us. And God has made us that way. It has to do with our electrical system. And when we're in school, we're constantly on artificial surfaces. We're working with copy machines and computers, and we've got gamma rays bombarding us. And all of that, being able to touch the earth and work it, has a way of grounding us, so to speak. I know we have to end the show. Thank you so much for being with us, and I hope some of what we talked about really does help combat your fatigue. Whether you're a parent, a teacher, a guardian, just know that God loves you so much. And we have one last thing to say, and that is,
God bless. You have been listening to Education Current, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.